Behold, a podcast for the ages. Recorded live from the interdimensional terror vortex of their subterranean dwellings comes the Rough House Podcast version 3.0. Two galactic warriors put down their warhammers and battle axes to perform a more noble task. Complaining about professional wrestling on internet-purchased microphones.
Now with more Simpsons references and Kota Ibushi thirst.
This is the Rough House Podcast with Marty and Christoph.
So there I am. It's 3:30, Thanksgiving Day. The family is upstairs, the locust horde. They've burst through from the crust of the earth. And I say, well, I'm going to take Dom and the rest of the gears downstairs, and we're going to have some food. And I get shithoused. Mm-hmm. And I sneak from upstairs a Marie Callender's chocolate satin pie. And I sat right here where I sit, and I have a fork, and I have this pie. And it, for whatever reason, can't explain it, I said, people need to see this. So I go on Instagram, and I write, log in to my Twitch in 10 minutes to watch me eat a chocolate satin pie in complete silence.
And a full pie. This isn't just a slice. This is a full pie.
No, this I bring this pie down. No, I do end up slicing it. I do end up making some slices of this thing. As a matter of fact, if you give me just two shakes of a kitten's whiskers, I will actually send you the video.
Oh,
which
fantastic.
It's just me.
It's art.
Eating a chocolate satin pie in absolute silence. And the Twitch subscriptions went through the roof. And I thought, I have been playing Starfield.
Sure,
I've been playing the new RoboCop. I went deep into the weeds with Alan Wake 2.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, you could take that and you could shove it right up your ass. We want nothing to do with that. What we want to see is you eat a chocolate satin pie. And the next thing you know, I got subscriptions pouring in.
Wow.
People, I don't want to hear a fucking word from anybody about us being in a recession or an economic slump or anything. It's not true. The amount of money OnlyFans is making every day, farm to table pornography, and the amount of people that will log on to Twitch to watch some Yahoo eat a pie or watch some girl in pink headphone cat ear headsets pretend to play Call of Duty in a two-piece while just buckets of money throwing them at her as she sits there in the menus.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know whether or not to turn on the filtering or performance mode. I mean, we're like, yes, queen. I watched a woman stretch, not nude, just Lululemons. Okay. They call them that because they seal in the flavor and keep that coochie zesty. That she just stretched while, what the hell was that Pokemon ripoff game that just came out? Pal World. She just, it was in the menus. She didn't even start it. It was her in the corner, full menu screen, and she's just doing yoga shit on the couch. I watched her make about $3,900 in 20 minutes. And I'm like, let me go get my clown makeup.
Cheers.
Let me put it on and head to work tomorrow. Because that's what I felt like. I'm like, well, can't beat them, join them. So now I'm just, here's another great one. This is the hackiest thing I've ever done. I'm a fucking clown at this point. I should start performing at the Gathering of the Juggalos. For everybody that logs
again
on twitch.tv, I didn't get to perform the first time because someone threw a fucking saw blade at my head.
I know.
I now, for every subscription, I have a Bean Boozled. I'm like, if you subscribe, I'll eat one right here. Through the roof.
Wow.
Just throwing me $5 to eat a fucking jelly bean.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not gonna stop you.
We fucked up with the Art Fight Twitch so bad. We should have just leaned into this.
Just, I'm like, why push back against the rising of the dipshit tide? Why not get your surfboard moronicness and just carve it all the way to the shore? Do I want to play Helldivers? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Do I want to fire up that new David Harbour Alone in the Dark? I'd love to. Do I want to get into the eccentricities of Dragon's Dogma 2 and the character creator? Yes, but people are like, no, eat pickled vegetables and tell us how tart the asparagus is. Done. That's what I'll do. I was eating camel and mako shark jerky this past week.
And they're like,
give us more. give us more. Like, okay.
I think you might be undercutting your talents a little bit in this because you have a very descriptive way of words in that I'm sure as you're eating these weird delicacies, you're describing them in such a way that people have not heard.
Margaret Thatcher's pussy did come up during the Mako shark jerky portion.
See, yeah. This is your art. Okay.
Yeah.
This is your wheelhouse. The dough with which you shape and make clay and throw it in the kiln and get $5 subscriptions on Twitch.
And this is why I need my monthly injection of the Good Time House for making a boy feel good. We have got wrestling to talk. Holy shit.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. What horrors have befallen since the last time? What old god HP Lovecraftian nightmares have surfaced? I have paid attention to some, not all. It sounds like people are getting a little bit more comfortable discussing the Vince stuff on the WWE side of things. I see that Drew McIntyre is somehow sneaking in references to Jack Perry and his promos over on that side, which is a hoot. I don't watch much New Japan unless it's a Wrestle Kingdom, and it sounds like that kingdom is crumbling at its base.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get much into WWE because I do listen to the regular program, and I know the focus for the most part is AEW, New Japan, some other stuff. So we'll probably lean more towards AEW things today. And their momentum is good. They got good momentum, not perfect. And there's some stuff that I got massive concerns for and massive hopes for. Jesus on his throne. Am I excited about some stuff? Curious about some others and eye rolling so badly I can see who's behind me at others. Let's hit one that you hit, that you referenced me, and I couldn't thank you enough. You've already tripped, fall, shattered your nose, pushed your fucking skull into your brain with the return of Kyle O'Reilly. In the fuck is going on over there with the quality control or the lack thereof that he returns? It was at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And then they had Dynamite afterwards. So Revolution, if you listen to this, was the last big pay-per-view. And I talk about, we knew some people were coming. All right.
Sure.
This was a, whoa. And this is going to turn into something else with somebody else as well. It's time for the surprises to stop. It's time to maybe hype. It's time to welcome back.
Right.
It's time to, my God, that man has a story that, I mean, AEW fans are more plugged into the unnecessary sometimes minutia, but they are. It's a deep, deep, deep fandom, which, again, we'll get into Tony and sometimes his reliance on people knowing shit already without fucking explaining it. But what a story you could have told about a man that some people, himself included, thought would never wrestle again. And then he did. And then he's back. And immediately, he's with the most feckless, toothless, just zero heat fucking faction, the Undisputed. Yeah. So let's just start there. I mean, I'm like, that's a story to tell. Do you need to tell it immediately that he's back with his buddies? And then I heard your reference. He shows up looking like he was turned away at a methadone clinic. He needed the fucking juice to stem the tide of the vice-lit cravings. And he looks awful. And I mean awful, awful. Like, have you not been to bed in days? And I don't know. We heard Will Ospreay lost his bag and he still had to come out doing his thing. I was like, okay, I'm going to fucking lop this off. Let's see him on Dynamite. He looks worse on Dynamite. Yeah. That backstage segment where he is wearing a Camel Light promotional t-shirt. It's wrinkly. His hair is greasy. I'm like, what is this
character? Under a backwards hat. Yeah.
He looks awful. Awful. Did no one, is there anyone back there going, stop, go change. Go change right now. Clearly. How are you looking this bad? And then you have his first match back against the one, what's his name, Keith, what is it,
Brian Keith
Keith, that guy will be fine down the line, but right now I mean, who the fuck is Brian Keith? He's 5'0". He's got a cool face. He's got this weird, like, fucking Hateful Eight kind of, I don't know. I don't believe the bounty hunter thing. It seems like a 94 McMahon kind of character. You're a goon. You're a character. And that's the first guy. I'm like, fuck. I mean, within 2 weeks, you already made me not give a shit about Kyle O'Reilly. Like, and that was a guy who had a story. The story's there.
Yeah.
Build it back. He's returned. I think of the return of Daniel Bryan. I think of the return of Edge. And, you know, back when they were across the street and they sold, like, I got bad news for everybody. I'm back. And everyone's like, yes, Daniel Bryan's back. And then, holy shit, Edge returns at the Rumble. And then they sort of the next night get into the story. He just kind of drips into the ring looking like he slept in his car. And I go, fuck, what are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah. And then think of the timing. Think of the time. Let's say you did everything the same. You do every stumble fuck return the way you did it. Mm-hmm. Why would you do it in the middle of the debut somewhat for Ospreay? He's already been there. But the debut of three of the biggest acquisitions you've ever had, which were boom, boom, boom. You dump him in the middle of that?
Yeah.
The theme of the soapbox today is that AEW can succeed, but it can't with Tony Khan in control of creative. It absolutely can't. It can't do it. He is incapable of formatting television properly in a way where he takes advantage of the pieces that he has, which now even more so. And I'm really loving the WWE product. The roster right now on the AEW side of things is ridiculous. I mean, if you like New Japan, we got you. You like WWE characters, we got you. You like homegrown talent, we got you. You want the fucking best of the indies, we got you. Gotcha. Yeah. What do you need? Okay. Yeah. What do you need? We got you. Women, we'll get into that. But we got you. Okay? We got you. We'll work on that. We'll work on that. So the big three, Monet, Ospreay, Okada.
Yeah.
You want to go good to bad or bad to good? You tell me. Where do you want to start? Hell yeah. Oh God. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Let's start with the good. Let's work our way down here.
You now have, I think, the guy that could send this fucking thing into the atmosphere with Ospreay. He's everything.
100%.
He's everything. He's everything. Yeah. He's got the look.
Out of the park.
He's got the moves. He can talk now. And I mean, he could talk his ass off. I remember the Wrestle Kingdom press conference promo with Kenny.
With Omega. Yeah.
Fired up one.
Yep.
Bruv, bruv, bruv. And bruv is now caught on, which is good. You got to guess.
Yeah.
People are wearing bruv shirts, bruv signs. It's his match with Takeshita was great. I'll tell you what, I like the fucking one with his buddy Kyle better. I mean, like the one on Dynamite. Yeah. I loved the one with Takeshita. But the one with his fucking boy, I liked it even more.
Beat the shit out of each other.
This is incredible. This is incredible. He can talk. You know what he is? And I'll own it now. As a man that loved Kenny, here we are. It's calcified. The ink is dried. Kenny cannot talk. He can't. He's a dog shit promo.
Yeah.
I watch his Twitch streams. He can't speak. He's a terrible orator. He's not good. And I know people say this, but Omega in Japan tastes different than Omega in the States.
Sure.
The confidence that he has speaking Japanese versus the English language.
Which is crazy.
There's a delta between the two. Kenny, he never had the promo. Plus, we're going to get into the Bucks in a bit. He was always attached to them, and there was too much corny. When he was doing heel Kenny and the glasses and changing outfits every week, there was too much corny. Face Kenny, see Kyle O'Reilly, and then I get the diverticulitis stuff. He looked like shit the past year. Physically, outfit-wise, nothing was like, my God, look at that. That's the one wing angel. That's the guy that walked the fucking ramp.
Yeah.
Ospreay checks every box.
He does.
Here's what I'm begging you. You're gonna see a through line. Get Tony away from him. Get Tony away from him right now. I mean it. He can't book him right. He can't. He has another match coming up against Shibata.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. No. I shouldn't see that. Stone Cold rarely wrestled. Hogan rarely wrestled. Andre the Giant rarely wrestled. When they did, it was immaculate. You couldn't wait. You're fucking built this stuff. If you give them to me every week, those moves and maneuvers that I've never seen before, they're going to get lessened. I'll give you an example. When I saw The Matrix back in the day, the original Matrix, I fucking fell in love with that film. You would have thought I was on their payroll the way I was selling The Matrix to people. You got to see this thing. I've never seen techniques like this in a movie. He does the slow-mo thing, and then you do this camera rotation thing. And wait till you hear the plot twist when they yank the rug out, and it's all the same. I sold this movie to people because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I had never seen a movie like this.
Yeah.
Well, forget the sequels. And don't even get me started on that fucking fourth one.
Oh, God, it was so bad.
I wanted to get a refund for something I didn't pay for.
Yeah.
So I took so many people to see that film. Yeah. And then I watched it at home. And I probably saw the year The Matrix came out, I think I probably saw it 15 times. I was so, but the eighth time, I wasn't impressed anymore. I liked watching somebody watch it. I liked that. Yeah. I got that. He went, watch this part. He's going to dodge the bullet. The 20th time, nothing. But I do watch this other movie called Jet Li's The One. You ever seen Jet Li's The One?
Yeah.
I fucking love that movie. It's a shittier Matrix. But I watch it fight scene wise. But I watch that like once every couple years. And every time I rediscover it, I'm like, fuck me, that's awesome. Because I give it time. Tony can't do that. He's incapable of letting that stuff build. And this is the problem when people start getting a little critical of the flippy-do thing. The flip stuff is interesting. It's valid. And I'm the first guy to be like, God damn, slow it down. You would think I was in the Georgia Championship Wrestling territory in the mid-60s, the way I talk sometimes. Yeah. But I think sometimes it's not the technique. It's the frequency. If you do it every single fucking week, it doesn't mean anything in 2 months. It means nothing in 2 months. We should not see him wrestle again until it's Daniel Bryan at the pay-per-view. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then let that shit build for another month or two and then have another match right before Wembley. Stake his fucking claim. And then he goes to Wembley. It's going to be a mushroom cloud there. If you could somehow fold him into title contention, hold off on Swerve. Swerve is going to get his shot. Swerve deserves his shot. But God, you could build something special with him. But don't do the thing Tony does. Don't do the thing Tony does, because we'll get into Okada in a second. Don't do the thing Tony does where he just fucking new toy. I got a new toy. Look at the thing. I got a new toy. And you're like, stop. I love fucking Choco Tacos. It's one of my favorite desserts. If I ate a fucking Choco Taco 3 times a day, 7 days a week, guess what the fuck I don't want to see on the eighth? A Choco Taco. Yeah. Get that wretched confection away from me. I can't even smell one without gagging. And we're getting in promos. Fine. Have him be a part of stuff. Have him be story. But the Shibata match, yes, is it going to be great? Absolutely. But every time you have them in there in these short little durations, it's going to mean less. Every wrestler has a finite bag of moves, of techniques. And I get that there's a bunch of combinations with people, but every individual wrestler has a move set. And his is vast, and it is unique, and it is strange, and it is impactful. But you keep using him. And he hasn't done it yet, but I'm seeing this like Shibata match. I'm like, okay, I get it. There's a tie that binds with Brian and Shibata and him and Shibata and beat my ass back in the day. Got it. Unnecessary. I don't, because what good, he's going to beat Shibata. What good does that do him?
Right.
It's going to be a cool match, but at the same time, like, okay, every time I see you, it's going to be less. And let's be honest too, his moveset, it's dangerous. The more that guy wrestles, the likelihood that he gets his shit wrecked. I mean, there was already rumors of him coming out of the pay-per-view with that turnbuckle spot where he wrecked his ass pretty badly. I mean, his risk-reward ratio is dangerous with his style. So don't have him wrestle as much. Make him the definition of an attraction. I mean, if you looked at like Andre back in the day, that dude might have wrestled 4 times in a year. Flair, NWA champion. He would go to a territory once every couple months, talk a ton of shit. Barely squeak by the local guy and move on. Make attractions. Make an attraction out of some of these people. Because we'll get to fucking Okada in a second. And the story with Fletcher, that episode, and I heard you say it, should we talk about ratings? Should we not talk about ratings? Sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes they're boring. They can be boring, but it could also be a pretty scary reality for stuff.
It's true.
And they were not good. after Revolution, which was scary that it was the lowest rating in 6 months. The last time the ratings were on their way up, it's when Sting announced his retirement, almost to the week. And you go, God damn, have these past 6 months been Sting? That pay-per-view buy, was that Sting? Was that House? Was that Sting? And now coming out of that, the right thing to do is build it on the backs of these three new characters. But I'm watching that post-Revolution Dynamite, and I'm going, the story all pay-per-view should be goddamn Ospreay. Every other segment should be a moment from that Takeshita match. Cut every backstage segment. Cut every one of them. They were horrendous. Every backstage segment needs to be pulled. Fire the producer. Fire the cameraman. Fire the guy that built the background. The backstage shit is getting worse somehow. Production budget's gone up. I love the new stage. I love the new look. I'm still getting used to the song. The backstage shit is awful. It really, it screams, and I love them, and this is not a knock. But it's, I mean, it's one and one with MCW. As far as quality of delivered message backstage, it's horrendous. All of those moments could have been used. What's that?
It's like bad improv.
It's bad improv. It's like summer stock. It's indie. It's indie. It's the double-edged sword of WWE too scripted, AEW not scripted enough. We'll get into you, Monet. All of those segments you could have thrown out and had a moment leading to, if you missed it, later tonight, there's a guy that's coming on. And if you know, you know. If you don't, watch this. And by the way, the guy he's taken on, a brother. Here's their history. Here's clips. And I get it, okay? That fucking bedazzled fleshlight, Excalibur, was trying to barf scream out briefly about their history. They didn't do the best job, for those that don't know. We think they did because we know it, but you got to assume there's people out there that don't. They did not set up their history right. They did it. We know it. There's a story there, but you got to pretend. And you know what? I like having the same story told to me. I like hearing somebody creatively express it. Shit return to him on Dynamite for an awesome match that you then look at the numbers on and go, fuck, everybody tuned out for that?
Yeah.
That was great. That was that. I genuinely like the Fletcher match. If that's one, Takeshita was 1A. I mean, brilliant in their own separate ways. And you look at it and be like, all right, here we go. Here we go. And you're like, why? Why?
Yeah.
Where did everybody go? And then I think you did a terrible job. You did a terrible job of setting up that main event. And it's not the performers. Half the time, it's not really the announcers. Everything goes through Tony. Everything goes through him. And he is becoming, in an odd way, McManish to the product in that he's holding it back. He needs to write a fucking check and let someone else do it. Let's get to Monet. Monet, we all kind of knew.
Yeah.
Boston, Bosstown, big business, whatever. Did you need to pull the Punk playbook and be like, I wonder what's going to happen? I wonder. Yeah. No, hype me up. You have someone people know. People know this person. Show her face. People are going to go, yo, that's Sasha Banks. Well, she goes by Mercedes Monet. You loved her. Obviously, the other company, she's here now. Really? Holy shit. Barf it out. We got the big gun. We got one of the last huge free agents. And it's this weird, like, I don't know. Maybe we got her. Maybe we don't. I don't know. Guess
she left. She'd been on All In.
She's been on All In. She's
been on the show.
Just fucking announce it.
Yeah.
Announce it. Show it. And she pops this million viewer rating. Fuck you. And then she starts to talk. and talk. And she, I remember in the WWE, she was a much better shit talking heel on the mic than a babyface espouser. And her whole look, I'm the boss, I'm the CEO. Look at the hair, look at the book. Everything screams heel. Everything screams
very loud.
Look, screams heel. You look like some evil boss bitch, rap CEO, mogul, Fortune 500, maybe trust fund princess, something. Everything about your aesthetic screams fucking heel. and you just do this long, unbridled, fucking rambly whatever. And it wasn't a bad promo, but it wasn't good. It wasn't good. Considering the Ospreay promo that you got was pretty fucking great. It was really good. Yeah. And here's the issue too. And we'll get into the rest of the Monet episode, which was even worse numbers wise, shockingly.
Yeah.
That this is a work rate company. This is a wrestling company. Okay. Okada, Ospreay, Jesus Christ. You got it for days. That bell's going to fucking ring. And Monet's going to have to go.
Yep.
And there's, can you name, I can think of one just heartstring pulling, Jesus, let me watch it again match. And it was when she was at NXT against Bayley.
Yeah, the 2-3 falls match.
Yeah. And that was how many years and years and years and years ago? It's she's got a lot. She's got charisma for days. When she's a heel on the mic, she's great. And let's look at some of the quote unquote greats. You got your Cena's, you got your Rocks, you got your Austin's, you got your whoever's. No one's ever going to look at them like, God damn, those stomps in the corner, those were amazing. No, they weren't. Steve missed fucking half of them. Hogan lifted a leg, big boot, leg drop, whatever. They were pure charisma mic guys. She's right. The same way. Okay. But this is a company and the fan base that demands matches that go off, matches that fuck, matches that like, oh shit, this is going to be it. And they're in a group of women right now that aren't great. And that bell is going to ring. And it's probably not going to be very, very good. And I don't know who you put her up against. And then later in that night, you have, again, a bunch of these backstage segments. I'm like, cut that, cut that, cut that, cut that. Give me Monet, 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 Monet. And I'm thinking of the women in here. I'm thinking of the women you could have had her across from somehow. Maybe somebody like valid that people would have been like, oh shit, I think Serena Deeb is one of the best women wrestlers in that company that people kind of know. They know she's the professor. They know she could go off and a legitimate win if you win, or someone to get in her face and get in her ass, and then Monet pulls off the victory. I would have had like maybe even someone from ROH, a Mercedes Martinez. I would have even had, what about Sheeta? Sheeta could have gone in there and had something, but you put her in there with fucking, you attach her to Riho and Willow, who all the credit in the world to Willow. That match was Willow doing moves to herself. Go watch that suplex again. She jumps and throws herself back, that belly to back.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Fuck out of here with everybody sucking Riho's dick. Get out of here. It looks like he was born 7 months early. Can't talk. Fucking eyes shooting around like a goddamn iguana. She holds on to fucking Willow. And Willow throws herself backwards. Like, wow, look at Riho. No. No, no, flag on the fucking play with that. No, stop it. Everything from Japan is top shelf. Get the fuck out of here. And I love a big man, little man thing. One of my favorite feuds ever, Mysterio Batista. But Mysterio wrestled like Mysterio. He had to slide under legs and dive on backs and choke and all that. And you got Riho pulling power moves on that woman. Stop. Stop it.
It's an illusion.
I call bullshit on all that. Okay. And then the ratings come in and they're in the 600,000s and you started with 1 million. You lost damn near half your audience. Explain that. How do you lose half your audience? It's Tony. Yeah. It's Tony. I'm not putting this on the performer. As much as I roll my eyes, we like different shit. I get that, and that's fine. But how do you lose? You can't ignore a borderline half your audience defection to something else.
Yep.
It should have been her all night long. At the end of the night, I'm going to tell you about my first opponent, and I'm calling her ass out here. Something. Yeah. A returning Jamie Hayter. It's Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Something. It's time for me to finally put you down for good, Soraya. Everyone here can't stand you. I'll be the one to say it. Your debut here has been a mess. Everyone thinks your brother sucks. The outcasts were a disaster. She could have gone in for real on another recognizable character and turned it into some shit to get a little juice out of a flailing and failing Soraya.
Yeah.
But you have her with Julia Hart, Sky Blue, Willow, and Riho for the secondary women's title.
Yeah. That was a real head scratcher.
And that is Tony. That's Tony. So I'm going to wait on her. I'm all in on Ospreay. Monet, let's see how it goes. You've already made me not give a fuck about Okada. All right? And that's on you, because that's not Okada's fault. That's not. Okay? People give Jericho all the deserved shit in the world for doing what with young talent? Barnacling onto him. I'm not calling them fucking Lionhook. Not doing it.
No.
I'm not calling him the fucking Golden Jets if Kenny ever comes back. I'm not doing anything with him and Garcia. He does the bit where he just fucking latches onto AEW's fan base better come with that same fucking energy for the Bucks, because all they did was take one of the hottest motherfuckers that, by the way, people want to cheer. They don't want to do shit with the Bucks. They don't like them. They don't hate them. They don't give a fuck about them. They're too corny. And they've taken this guy who looks like a star, who is a star. And there were two bad sells this week. Bad sells. Did anybody see the Austin Theory stunner into RKO sell over on WWE? Awesome idea on paper. That was a mess in execution. What a great idea. And I'm going to get to Okada. Somehow, Kevin Owens, Orton, they're in the ring, maybe setting something up for Mania. Here comes Austin Theory. Owens hits him with the stunner. And what was supposed to happen was the Razor Ramon Scott Hall shotgun sell.
Right.
Goes down, up through the air, and guess who catches him? Orton, RKO. Would have been beautiful. But Austin Theory takes the stunner, just stands up. One, two, jumps, and then Orton catches him. And it's a mess. It's the idea looked great. So here come the Bucks. It was, that Austin Theory cell was just like, Jesus Christ. Somebody better have pulled him aside back there. Like, if you can't take that fucking stunner bump into the thing we worked on, don't do it. We should not have done that, because it's awful. So the Bucks come out. They do their announcement. They're just playing characters. I'm already the heel Bucks who I was the last time we talked about. I'm going to wait. I'm going to see where it goes.
You're okay.
I'm already out. Okay. They're too ironic. There's too much irony. There's too much wink, wink. There's too much get it. Okay. Irony is the tool of the lazy. And you don't take it seriously. Why should I take it seriously? So they come out, they fire Paige from the Elite. What the fuck even is the Elite? Suspend him from the Elite. What is that? When's the last time he was with you guys? The Elite's not a faction. You guys have not been a faction. It's not a thing. I haven't seen you guys as a cohesive unit in forever. Kenny, we all know what's going on with Kenny. Unexplained absences. Wink, wink. They do their huge announcement, Tony Khan. We have a very large announcement, and we can't wait. I get it. You're making fun of Tony Khan. Tony Khan's not a baby face. Nobody cares. Tony goes, like, don't you make fun of that man. We love him. No one cares. He's not a heel. He's not a face. Tony Khan is an entity that exists in that world, but not on screen. So you start doing the, get it? I'm acting like the boss in his corner. No, corny as shit. I'm like, oh, God. So then here's the other one. Kingston comes out. We're going to Kingston in a second. Kingston comes out, does his thing, throws the money, which looked to be about $17. They hear the coin. Out comes Okada. Okada, oh my God, he's actually going to get him. He grabs him. I'm like, let me just get you turned around here real quick. All right, hold on. Sit still. Let's get the ripcord. Short arm, clothesline. That looked fucking awful. That Rainmaker was bad. And that's the very first move you're doing as part of an official member of the roster. And you got these dorks aside. They have that backstage promo where Okada makes Marvez sing happy birthday. Fucking stop. You're already. No, but it's good. Isn't it funny? No, it's not funny. It's bad. It's just bad. You're getting the smell of your goofy YouTube skit shit. That's bad SNL on them. And then your first match is against three fucking nobodies? Against nobodies? And then you got him wrestling again against three somebodies? And I'm like, you've made him corny. His first move was embarrassing, and I'm putting that on Kingston. And then you're rolling him out for something else. People want to cheer Okada. They want to cheer him. Is it cool that he's a heel? And he could probably do some good heel work, I have no doubt. His New Japan heel work was good. But right now, people are excited for you here. I would have gone Monet heel, Okada face. The Bucks are not elevating him. He's not elevating the Bucks. Is this the Elite? I don't know. His English is good. It's not great, but he just should be this. I want to see him in the robe. I want to see him powerful. I want to see not this, not this. And they're going to do what they looks like they're doing with Ospreay. Let's just keep him. Let's every week. Fuck it. Put him on Rampage. Who gives a shit? Let's put him. Fucking send him down to ROH. Don't know. I should watch him wrestle once every 2 months. If make this dude an attraction. He's such a megastar. He
oozes. But doesn't that contradict your whole thing of, oh, people don't know this guy, so you have to introduce him and get people to recognize who he is?
Bucks ain't the ones to do it. The Bucks have made them corny. You can do that. And you're going to do that with good backstage work. You're going to do that with good packages. Where was the Ospreay package that I sent you guys a link to on YouTube about his journey to America? Did they ever make the air?
It wasn't on Twitter at all.
It was on Twitter. Yeah. It was on Twitter. You made all that, and you never aired that.
Yeah.
Do that. Do that stuff. Put that on air. Take that thing, dice it up into four segments, put it backstage. You need to show that stuff. Show people what a legend he is with the stuff he's already done. Wait till you see what he does here. Against those three nobodies? Oh, my God. I looked at them like, who the fuck? I'm like, of course you're going to beat them. They're a bunch of nobodies. Build up to something. The Bucks have X-Pac level. I'm not interested in this. Are they painting their facial hair on, by the way?
Probably.
Go look. There was a moment where they had the Van Dykes right here.
Yeah.
And then the next week they have full goatees, thick.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's face paint. I'm telling you, they're using face paint. No, I'm not telling a joke here. I'm telling you, I'm thinking they're painting on. It's bad. What they're doing is bad. The outfits with the sleeveless vests and the chains, awful. Get that shit away from Okada now. And you're right, Chris. Tell the story. Tell it. The Bucks ain't the ones to tell it. One doesn't talk, and the one swears they can, but can't at all. Matt Jackson is under the impression he can talk because he's a VP. No one's got the heart to tell him. You cannot talk. You cannot. And it'd be better if you knew you couldn't talk and didn't, Nick. Like, I had a girlfriend once. Okay. You know the one that looked like Sarah Jessica Parker? Uh-huh. Chris, you know what I'm talking about? Marty.
Yeah.
This girl was under the impression, I'm not sure who lied to her, that she gave just a top shelf knob polish. I would rather put my penis in the predator's mouth than ever get anywhere near that again. But what made it so bad is that she thought she was great at it. Started in the middle like a cob of corn, which was weird. And they did this thing where she just glide her teeth back and forth and then blow and then would like, I don't know, jam it in her teeth. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? And then would look like, it's pretty amazing, right? No. What? Is this the first penis you've ever seen? This is awful. But it made it doubly bad because she would look and go, am I the best ever? No, you're not even the top 10. Get out of here. That's Matt Jackson's promos. He is under the impression. Matt Jackson's promos are a bad BJ. All right. Get Okada away from this. I have concerns, and my concerns are the same as Ospreay's with him, that you're going to roll him out too much. Make him something special because he is. You got three game changers here with Monet, Ospreay, and Okada. And then not to mention the rest of the fucking roster with Takeshka and Shibata, Daniel Bryan. I've never
Pac's
seen
back. Him. Yeah, Pac's back, thankfully.
Pac's back. I love that Pat's thin and he's evil. He's vicious. I would love to see, oh my God, fucking Okada and Pac, size differential. One can do the majority of heavy lifting in regards to the speech. Pac, Okada, a couple of sinister phrases here and there. I can't stand the Bucks pairing with him because when they were talking, go back and watch the promo where they did the elite stuff. There's zero reaction, none. They get none. Now Okada comes out with them. Listen to when they come out and they're doing the stage thing. Fucking nothing. They're getting nothing. They're not getting booed. They're getting nothing. And then coin hits, people pop. Okada's the star. They're doing the Jericho thing with him to bring it back around. And no one's like, we're just okay with this. They're obviously blatantly being like, let's glom on to the big new toy. Get away from them. No, you're such hot shit. You're so fucking elite. It's right there in your name. Do it on your own and don't make this guy, because you're not rockets to him. You're fucking anchors and you're making me not care about him. And I don't want that. I want to care about Okada. I'm going to keep watching it. But man, we're already two instances into some corny shit. That fucking happy birthday thing was so eye rolling. Nothing about that said, I think of a villainous Japanese, I think of the Yakuza. I think of a fucking boss. I think of the suit. I don't even want to hear him speak. I don't want to hear him. I want to wonder what's on his fucking mind. And then he's like, sing happy birthday. Oh, God. You're doing this shit? Come on, man. It's corny. And it's Khan. It's Khan and it's the Bucks. And I need someone else to take control of this program because they have got momentum. I'm not ready to say, hey, we're back. Not ready to. But I can't think of anybody else truly that you can bring in right now, because the era of bringing in people's done. You got them. You got
everything. Overflowing as is.
Well, I think a two maybes, but I'm with you that they've had more than enough. Shelley and Sabin just finished with Impact last night.
That would be a fun acquisition for a tag team division that is very scattershot right now. They were. At the beginning,
I don't even know who the tag champs are right now. Who are the tag champs right now?
It's not.
Oh, it's no one. It's a tournament.
Oh, the tournament. That's right.
Yeah. Sting and Darby were. And
Yeah.
Also,
there's an entire tournament on television. And we're like, wait, what the fuck's going on?
Tournament. The infantry. Who?
We didn't even know their fucking name last week. We took 5 minutes to try and figure out who they were.
Oh, the fucking infantry? Like, what? What? you also heard me mention Eddie Kingston. And I liked Revolution. I thought it was great. I'm not going to go as far as Barty and say it was one of the greatest wrestling things I've ever seen. It had some highs. It had some lows. More highs than lows. More highs than lows. Really an excellent pay-per-view. You felt like you got your money's worth.
Yeah.
The one where I will part from you is... Imagine going to see Gwar and you see
the
stage set up Saturday. Hell yeah, good for you. Yeah.
Baltimore Soundstage, let's go.
And you got the stage set up, and there's the fucking blood dick geyser, and there's a lady with fucking shotgun nipple clamps, and someone with two skill saw blades as labias. And here comes a guy out there with a fucking guitar that looks like a dragon's dick, and it's just a bunch of weird satanic fingers, and you're like, this is awesome. And then they start playing Hall & Oates. You go, what the fuck is that? Are you playing Rich Girl? What am I hearing right now? Why is that?
I mean, now I have a Gwar Hall & Oates cover in my head, and I don't want to hear that.
I would listen to that.
But imagine you heard the actual voices of Hall & Oates coming out of them. And to me, that is Eddie Kingston. That is Eddie Kingston. I see the look. I see the promos. I see the intro. I see the gruffness. He's doing Japanese wrestling karaoke to me. He is. He has a fascination with Japanese style.
King's Road, all Japan.
King's Road, all that shit. A bunch of names that I have to fucking research on. And he does this. He does this version that Danielson can do, but he can't. He does this, let us stand and let's fucking exchange blows, which, by the way, three matches in a row with a stand across from each other and exchange blows. That's a Khan thing. Again, someone that's a showrunner, someone that formats TV, someone that goes, okay, what are you doing in match one? You're doing three DDTs, match two, no DDTs. Match two, you're doing tables, match three, you don't get to do tables. Three matches in a row with the exact same exchange. Like, sorry, we've already saw that in the last match. Third match, we've already seen that in the past two matches. A showrunner is going to have you do that. Eddie Kingston doesn't wrestle like how he looks. He should be this street brawler. I don't agree completely with Eric Bischoff's, like, he doesn't have it. He looks like a Jiffy Lube guy. I like that he's this gruff, shitty New York street thug. But that spinning back fist is terrible, and the stand across and the machine gun chop things are awful. They're not good. And I saw that Danielson match with him, and I'm looking at it going, Danielson can do this. He wants to be able to do this, and I don't think he can. It's coming off as a tribute act to Japanese wrestlers that the audience might not be familiar with, and not even like bringing him up by name. He's just talking moveset. I get it. The outfit is a tribute to his guy over in Japan. But Kingston, I love him on the mic. I love him backstage. He's the one backstage segment I'll actually pay attention to.
100%.
But once the bell rings, it doesn't. What he does doesn't match who he is. I want him to be a little shittier. Punch someone in the dick. Punch them in the cock. Grab an ear and pretend to start to rip it off. Grab a lip and pull them in separate directions. Start to fight like the person you look like. Because if you're going to look like that and act like that and talk about the mean streets and all that, but then when it's go time, it's time for the honor and the glory of the King's Road. And let's pay homage to the mat. And it's like, what? Wait, what? None of that matches. None of that matches. But because Khan and the people around him are so up the ass of Japanese wrestling history, like, oh, yeah, that's great shit. Go stand in front of each other and exchange forearms for 2 minutes. And everyone will be like, fuck yeah, man. That's wrestling. I can't. That match was the one where I was like, I gotta fast forward through this because it just wasn't. It wasn't. Danielson can do it. Eddie Kingston can't. Also, Meltzer's lost his fucking mind. Meltzer, he's completely out. Did you see his Gunther criticism?
No.
About the turnbuckle spot. Okay.
What was the spot?
Gunther takes on Dominic, and it's great. You got massive heel, shitty sniveling heel. So usually heel versus heel, like there better be something good there. But you got a little shitty running around like a chicken spot. And the whole match was booked beautifully because it's just Dominic running for his life for five minutes, trying to not be caught. And he whips him, Gunther, Dominic, into the corner. And he goes over to give him one of these massive chops, misses, hits the turnbuckle with his hand. Okay. And it's immediately like, oh, my God, my hand. Shakes it loose. The
padded turnbuckle?
It was I think he hits the top. You know how they have the posts and there's the flat top now? They have those WWE style
posts. All the way screens. Up there, the post. Yeah. Okay.
And he smacks the top and it makes this great sound. And Dave goes on this rant about the unbelievability of smacking your hand on that post and then continuing to use that hand the rest of the match as if it wasn't impacted.
I mean,
how many fucking 5-star reviews have you given to a match where a man has fallen off of a ladder, through glass, through chairs, sprung back up 30 seconds later, and he's just off to the races? No problem. No problem. Where Darby is just popping up after throwing his ass off the ladder and his back is cut, but he's in there still throwing himself around. No problem. Bucks, Omega, Okada, whoever. That will do some shit that should kill a human being.
Right.
And they pop back. I'm like, that's great. Hell yeah. Perfect. No problem with that. But Gunther smacks the top of a post and he goes on a rant like, not believable. Shouldn't have been able to use that hand the rest of the match. The fact that he hit the top of it. I'm like, what are you saying? The match that you're giving like 6 and 7-star ratings to where people are killing themselves and 30 seconds later, they're right as rain. And you're not calling bullshit on that, but a man smacks a post and you're like, what? Way to show how the sausage is made. Come on, man. Your fucking fandom showing a little bit, Dave.
I don't. Yeah. Not to. And I'm not agreeing with Dave. What I'm saying is how. If Dom was in, you know, slouched across the turnbuckle. Where are you aiming that you overshoot by that much?
He went to slap and slunk under.
Well, I know, but then you would hit the actual turnbuckle and not the post that's so much farther back.
It was a running chop. So his momentum had him go all the way to the top.
Okay.
But let's say he was standing still or running. He hits the top. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking realism. Do you want to get into any fucking Bucks or Darby?
Just curious because I haven't seen the spot. I was just trying mentally picture.
Misses it. I mean, if you got to think, the turnbuckle is only 4 inches from the top of the pad. And it's Dominic leaning his head back. So he just winds up. And then as he goes for it, slinks out of the way, hits the top. And yes, he had to do an overreach for it.
Yeah.
But it's Meltzer going, man, so unbelievable. So anyways, Darby falls 3 stories through a plate glass window and 6 chairs and hops back up and continues to wrestle. And
He didn't hop back up. He was down for like at least 5 to 10 minutes.
He should have never gotten back up. That should have been the end of him. Hops back up. That, I mean, really, that's the end of your, that's the end of you in that match. That should have been. He should have never gotten back up.
I'm not opposed to that. I mean,
what's another move from that match you remember?
Exactly.
That was Sting's last fucking match. And Darby's, that spot, while wild, shouldn't have done that. Because that's the only thing anybody's talked about. They're not talking about the fucking, the stuff with his sons or the Scorpion death drops or him putting him in the, you know, his submissions and all that. Literally, the only thing anybody's talking about afterwards is Darby's spot. Kind of a selfish move. That really was.
Did he do a death drop through a table, Sting? Or am I making that up?
Are we having to think about that right now? Because you don't remember, because the only thing that anybody remembers is Darby doing the spot that in the moment was like, okay, cool, but why did you do that during Sting's goodbye? It should have been all him. Yeah. I don't, that spot I looked at and was like, all right, that's pretty wild. But that's going to be the only thing anybody's talking about. That was one that I get it. Sting is apparently the nicest guy in the world. He's not going to say no to anything.
Right.
Have a blast. It's my last match. Why do I give a fuck? Go crazy.
He was trying to lose the match and they wouldn't let him.
He wanted to lose and they wouldn't let him lose. I'm like, come on, let the guy fucking lose. Please, like, let the guy go out on a shield. But no, that was another one that I looked at. I was like, come on. That was, I don't know, Darby's my fucking guy. But I saw that. I'm like, well, that's the only thing anybody's going to remember. They're not going to remember anything after this. That's the only thing they keep showing from that match. It's just, to me, a little, I don't know. It was too much in a match that didn't need that, because it was 100% all about Sting's goodbye.
Yeah.
But he should have never, to get my original point, getting back to, you know, the impact of it, that should have been it. Should have never gotten back up. Should have just stayed there and died there in the end. Because I don't know. I just saw his back all fucked up. And now his feet are broken and he can't climb Everest. And hey, at the very least, to get back on the good side of stuff, Jay White fucking out of that goddamn Bang Bang Scissor Gang.
Thank Christ.
Okay. You want to talk about fucking corny as shit? That was terrible. Thank God they're back to their ways. Get, I heard you guys talk about it. Please do it. Combine those goddamn belts. Please liquidate fucking ROH. Please just let's get rid of some of these titles. I mean, when I saw Fletcher come out, I'm like, he has a title? Is he ROH TV champion?
TV, yeah.
Okay. Everyone's got a title. And I'm thinking, just if they gotta thin this stuff down. Wrap this up. All of my criticisms are on Khan and his creative process, because there's never been a roster like this. There has never been a roster and a desire for people like this. One company badly on the ropes with New Japan. And that audience, they now have their big guns. Lord knows if some reason or another Naito decides to fucking call it a day and head on over there. And
sooner rather than later, I'd imagine. He's definitely in the twilight.
Out of him, he's on the other side of shit. Get him over there. He is a fucking star. You've got some people that, if you liked your WWE characters, your Christians and your Edge. I mean, I wanted them to wait until Wembley. I think they're on match 17 right now. Okay.
That should be the end of it.
It should be the end. I pray it's the end. You never know. You never know. They continue to do shit and spin their wheels. And you hear from YouTube commenters, you hear from people on the inside, your fucking Brian Alvarez's, who is the Robin to Meltzer's Batman. You hear rumors and stories of people there that get there and they don't know what they're doing until they arrive. There's no long-term story with this stuff. And it's Khan. It's Khan's process. And I need this company to work. I need it to. But the hard numbers are what they are. Right. We get the lowest rating in 6 months, and then these megastars debut, and then no one sticks around to see the culmination of their story. And it's not on them. It's not Monet. It's not Okada. It's not Ospreay. It's fucking Tony. And I don't know who the High Council of Elders should be that takes over. I don't know if he's going to ever let anybody take over. Don't let it be the fucking Bucks. Who is back there now? Who's the person they just brought over?
Jennifer Pepperman, I think her name is.
She was a creative writer for WWE for a while.
Did she do like soaps or something also?
She did.
She's an Emmy Award winner,
She's an Emmy Award winning soap writer and WWE former producer. Give me a her to write some good 1 month, 3 month, 6 month stories, and then give me like a Jerry Lynn who's back there that can go, okay, everybody in a room real quick. What are we doing match one? Got it. Match two, don't do match one. Match one, don't do what they're doing in match three. Something uniform. There needs to be a process back there, and it's got to be taken away from him. I'm sorry. I think Khan is, it sucks because it's his baby, and he's also the biggest detriment to it right now. He's never going to tell Jericho what you're doing is dog shit. It's you can save some serious money. I'm not sure when his contract is up, but let's let it be up. It's time to let it be up. It's time to move on from that. That is, he is an albatross more than a benefit. He's not making anybody. Also, I don't want them to pull a page from the Punk book with Monet. When Punk came in and they were like, I'm going to wrestle Lee Moriarty. Okay, where's Lee now? Is he doing well? Is he at the top of the card? No. some of these like, we're going to have these old stars make new ones. Sometimes that's not how it works. I don't want Monet doing that. I want Monet only wrestling the top of the card as the star that she is. I'm like, I'm going to have her wrestle Sky Blue. Okay, fuck. All right, you're not going to get her over. You're not. I mean, she's a butt. She's a butt with got makeup on. She's the hottest woman at the Hot Topic. That's it. She's never going to be on top of the card. Maybe Willow. Willow's the fucking one. It looks like they're leaning towards that. There's a little bit of history there, but I don't have belief that they'll tell the history properly.
I mean, it's been mentioned frequently, so they're trying to get it over.
This past week.
Yeah, so. But it's some of the mentions, particularly from Excalibur, that are just so hyper. That when you saw that YouTube video, I keep going back to it, the Ospreay YouTube video, that was as good or better than anything the WWE has done, who are legendary in their video production, miniature documentary crafting. That Ospreay video, I was like, they can do this? That's amazing. If I didn't know a thing about Ospreay, I was so invested in him. That might be the reason I'm so goddamn high, is I was already excited that it was here, but I saw that thing and I'm like, let's fucking do this, my man. You deserve it,
bro.
And then they leave it on Twitter.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What the fuck are you thinking? But let's make sure we have five backstages with Angelo Parker, Ruby Soho, Soraya's brother, Jericho. Let's have these nonstop backstage with fucking mashed potato mouthed Marvez. Let's do whatever the God bless her. Whatever the fuck Renee Moxley Good's wearing. It's that, take all that stuff. You can do it. You got a guy there, a woman there. It's obvious. And put those backstage. Remove all that stuff. I'm begging you. I think with a couple of tweaks, you saw that rating from this past Wednesday, by the way. Give them all the credit in the world. Ratings held on for a nice an 800,000 number, and I know they tacked Rampage on at the end. Do not do a fucking 3-hour show. I'm begging you not to. Please don't.
I tapped out after 2 hours.
It's too long a show. It's one of the things that's great about you is that you do these 2-hour shows, which is a perfect amount of time. As good as Raw has been, 3 hours, still too much. That's why I prefer SmackDown. It's 2 hours. I don't feel like my time's wasted. But they had a nice number. They had a nice number. I need them to figure out a way to format this show better. I do, because I need you to make me care and to stop assuming we know. And I'm going to sound like a broken record. Run buildings that are more conducive to the audience pool right now. Because the very next night, you ran, I think it was a 13,000 seat building and had 2,100 people there. The night after Revolution.
Yeah.
And you see the fan shots from Twitter and stuff like that. And like, God damn, those shots leak. Those shots get out. And it's for the internet wrestling community. I mean, it's a pretty IWC based fan base. And they share that shit around a little bit more than the casual WWE guy. But that stuff gets out. Start to run some more conducive buildings and all that. Like, do we have Wembley numbers right now? I know right out the gate, second show, pretty good, like in the 50s. I believe.
I think they're in the 50s now.
Yeah. They're in the 50s. Yeah. I mean, we got pretty much April, May, June, August.
July, August.
So you got about 5. You got about 5 months. Now's the time. Strap the rocket, Ospreay. Ospreay should be it. Ospreay, it's in his home country.
Have him call a shot for Wembley.
Yeah. Have him call a shot. Now. And I heard you say it would suck, and I agree with you, if you made – Swerve, a transitional champion. Take the book, take a book, a page from the book of the WWE with the Cody Rhodes WrestleMania 39 story. Have Joe and Swerve at this next pay-per-view. Have Swerve lose again. It's okay. Swerve is so over that at the time, everyone was pissed off last year. Cody didn't finish the story. What the fuck? Well, right now, we're a couple of weeks away, and the fervor is twice what it was for 39 for him to do this thing against Roman. It's way more than it was. You have somehow Swerve lose again, and Joe starts to look like this undefeatable badass, because if he does lose this time and pin Swerve and obviously engages in some violent chicanery, then Swerve has another story to tell about returning to. He's full babyface now. He's perfect babyface. Then he has to kind of find himself, build himself back up, plug in Ospreay. Joe and Ospreay, you got this monster that can't be defeated. Give him another good one win marquee, Joe, until maybe two, until Wembley. Ospreay's there.
You'll have Ospreay. Double or nothing before then.
There you go.
Yeah.
You'll have maybe Paige will be back. Paige will come back. Paige and loses. Door.
Say again. Oh, yeah.
And Forbidden Door. Forbidden
Door. You got another great pay-per-view.
All in.
Yeah. Man, you got Joe and a white hot fucking Ospreay for that show. You fill that place. And then when Ospreay wins, then you got Swerve right there ready to go.
Yeah.
And you have fall into winter. And my worry is that they're not going to do that. I'm not saying give me the thing I want. My worry is that they're going to do what you said, maybe a Swerve transitional thing. Swerve as a Daniel Bryan winning the title thing. Swerve as a Kofi winning the title thing. Not the way it ended.
Yeah.
Swerve as a when this it's a Cody hopefully winning the title thing. When he gets that title, it is going to feel so good. It's going to be nice. And if he doesn't win it, he's not losing any momentum. People love Swerve right now. The fucking chant. I'm in the – you've made me get into Prince Nana. I was like, who is this D-minus level manager in an E-level faction with the mogul affiliate, embassy, conglomerate, home for unwed mothers? And you have somehow made me get into this guy. I'm into it now. And now the dancing fucking makes sense and people are doing it. He's a good guy and I want to cheer for him. It's perfect. Have him lose. And it's going to build that momentum up for Joe. Joe should just be, he's undefeatable. He's your Brock. He's it. Can't be done. And then fucking Ospreay does it. And you got 90,000 motherfuckers throwing their babies in the air. On the very end, they pan to the camera and fucking Swerve comes out, gives them a little fucking finger gun. I hope.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm happy they have who they have right now. And I'm happy the narrative is starting to change. But there's just, you gotta pull Tom. How do you pull the guy in charge of stuff? I don't want there to be the thing that happened on the other channel where it took somebody getting dunked on to be finally like, okay, you're out. And we can breathe again. And the bad man's gone. I'm loving the go fuck themselves Ronda Rousey public speaking tour right now, which has been hilarious.
Yeah, right? Worst person you know makes a great point. Love it.
Oh, my God. A horrible person. Which, has anyone seen the new Roadhouse?
No. Not yet, no.
You should watch it.
It's really?
Great. Yeah. It's... You should watch it for the wrong reasons.
Okay.
This Dalton, and go watch the original Roadhouse. It's horrible, but it's like, okay.
It's got that 80s kitschy sort aesthetic. Of appeal to it.
That Dalton, and it reminds me of some wrestling stuff where when you go, is that guy really a face? The way he's acting? Is that guy really a heel? Because everybody loves him. You want to love Conor McGregor in this, but he's the bad guy. But every scene he's in, you're like, ah, look at him. He's funny. But then Dalton, I'm going to spoil it. He's killing so many innocent people in this thing. There is a scene at the end of this movie where he steals a boat from a local police officer. He steals a man's boat. A nice man takes his boat. And for whatever reason, he's got a bag of dynamite. Sure. And don't know where he got it. Don't give a fuck.
You don't keep a bag of dynamite in your home?
I don't. I only
own place in Florida, right? They just have dynamite.
They just
around.
Have dynamite. Hey, loose leave dynamite. A stick. Take a stick right there at the counter of the Five and Dime. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. A bodega.
He takes. I'll take a box of off-brand cereal and a stick of fucking dynamite. He takes this
Colonel Crunchies. Yes. And three sticks of, TNT.
Admiral Flavor Cubes.
Yeah.
But the villain is out in the water. He never leaves this boat, this evil businessman. All right. And he goes out there with this boat that does not belong to him that he's stolen. And he pulls up to this boat. And a guy that I guess is like a sea hand. He's like a member of the staff on this boat, this mini yacht. Okay. The seafaring fella who just, he throws him a rope. And the guy that works on the boat, he ties it up. And he helps Dalton onto the boat. And then Dalton goes, has his conversation with the bad guys. And he's talking to them. And he's going, hey, give me the thing I want. And they say, no, you can't have the thing you want. And Dalton goes, oh, you better give me the thing I want or else. I'm like, what do you mean, oh, else? Dalton? And he goes, aha. And he pulls out a remote start. And they're like, what is that? Goes, you want to see what it is? And sets off the dynamite, blows the boat up right next to the boat that they're on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cut Great to idea. 5 seconds later. This employee, his face is gussed off. He's on fire, screaming in agony.
Good thing
and
he's on water.
Just shoves him into the water. This innocent man that was just, and he's dressed like a little sailor too. He's got like a cute little outfit on.
Yeah, white hat, shorts. A little tiny hat.
Got a little tiny hat's crooked. Looks like little, he's a Donald Duck hat. Hey guys, hey, we got snacks downstairs and we've got seltzers if you're above 21. And he fucking blows half this guy's face off and then shoves him in the water and then heads back to shore. And you're like, wait, you're the good guy in this? Yeah. Like, you're cheering for Conor McGregor to kill him by the end of this. He's like snapping people's necks that don't deserve to die. He feeds a man to an alligator during a standoff that he's just okay with. This Dalton is a psychopath in this film. And you're supposed to be like, all right, good
I
for him.
I kind of want to watch it now.
It is not good. No one can act. Jake Gyllenhaal is honestly really, really good in it. Conor McGregor acts like Conor McGregor. You get to see Conor McGregor's butthole. Ooh. I want you to make sure you think you had interference in your left channel. You get to see Conor McGregor's butthole in the movie. The very first.
Okay.
I'll let you experience it because I had to see it. So you get to see it.
It's just like a dramatic zoom out. Like, oh, what is that? And then you realize it's Conor McGregor's butthole.
My God, that's not Venus. Yeah. You get to see. No, you just, there's this, his very first introduction is to, man, what a wild and crazy guy he is. You get to see all of him. And he just acts like his character is Conor McGregor. There's the worst fight Good scene casting. With Post Malone you've ever seen. Post Malone is in this at the very beginning.
Okay.
I guess there's a fight technique in movies now called the fourth pass edit, where instead of the classic thing where you punch across someone's face, the camera's back here and they turn their head. They now do a bit where, and I had to look this up because it's called fourth pass. And I guess what they do is you throw one strike full speed at nothing. Then one strike, slow speed into the person, and they react like this.
Oh, okay.
Then they throw a full strike at a green body bag as if there was a person there. And then the person is inserted into the scene, and someone takes a big green tube and slams it into their face like it was the fist. And they layer cake all this shit together. And it looks like someone is getting punched in the face, headbutted in the face, kicked in the balls as hard as you've ever seen anybody. And it's both too real and not real enough at the same time. I want you to see this. It's so unique. Okay. It's not good. I'm telling you, not good. I'm not here to tell you, hey, sleeper hit of the year. The fuck it is. The fuck it is. Okay. You're not going to laugh as loud as you did during Poor Things with Emma Stone, which I should not have laughed as hard as I did. Did you see Poor Things?
I did.
Yeah.
We were all cool. Bruce Banner blowing that back out.
Yeah.
Okay. But technically, that was a child, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's was the fucked up part.
It was a baby's brain.
Yeah.
This baby is piloting this fucking meat mech and goddamn Banner. It's like, let's have sex with this child.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's definitely a child, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. Because she was full size, but the brain was tiny. There's a lot of issues there that I'm upset at how okay I am with it.
There was like one offhanded comment of, oh, she's maturing at a rate much rapider than anyone else could assume to try and write it off.
Still.
But I know everybody was watching, like, come on, man.
She's still walking like she's got a full diaper. Okay.
Yeah.
And like I said, he put the rough and Ruffalo with that ass. Like, did you take her diaper off? The way, dude, I can't repeat the line, but what the assistant said when he first met her, I wanted to throw a fucking drink at the screen. I was laughing so hard. When she's such a lovely, and then he hits the full flavored. Uh-huh. And I was like, someone hand me a bottle so I can throw it at the screen. I'm laughing so hard. And when she says she wanted to punch the baby, must go punch that baby. I was like, God, been there, sister. Been there.
Spoke to my soul.
Talk to me. Yeah. Like, kids are like right behind me fucking doing this. Oh my God. I love that. Did you think that the fiance was he gay? That he was a gay man?
It would make sense.
It seemed like he wasn't. He was very, yeah. You know, I had a friend of mine that's a little person finally admit, and we were happy for them that they were gay.
Okay.
Hey. Mm-hmm. They came out of the cabinet.
The Roughhouse Podcast is a weekly podcast fueled by coffee, pizza rolls, and the stench of dirty litter boxes. Follow Christoph and Marty on Twitter at RoughhouseSGW, at Facebook.com/TheRoughhousePodcast, and at Patreon.com/TheRoughhousePodcast for early access to episodes, exclusive podcasts, Roughhouse Redos, and Roughhouse Divided movie trivia games. New episodes drop every single Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Subscribe, motherfuckers!
This is the Roughhouse podcast with Justin and Christoph.
That's it.
Fuck Christoph. He's terrible with his information. Okay. Hey, this is The Rock. Shut your mouth, jabronis, and listen up, because this is the Roughhouse podcast with
Marty
and my least favorite man on the planet, Christoph.
You think you know nuts? I'll show you nuts. Try AJ's nuts.
Try my nuts!
From fire-roasted peanuts and cashews to paprika-coated almonds and candied pecans, AJ's nuts are the perfect gift for your girlfriend, your bodyguard, your boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, your other ex-boyfriend, or your other ex-boyfriend.
Buy my nuts now!
AJ's nuts are slow-smoked in small batches by large African men in extraordinarily small outfits.
Buy my nuts or I'll murder your family!
Once you've tried AJ's nuts, you'll be crazy to eat any other brand.
What did you call me? I mean, why did you call me crazy? Why am I crazy? This is a crazy...
AJ's nuts. Seriously, this chick is goddamn insane. Sold separately or paired with a replica of that abysmal Divas Championship belt.